Bringing a message on reaching the point of desperation from Mark chapter 2. I'll have you all remain seated today as I read this passage to you. So I want you to look at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which had borne afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Our dear Father, again we ask for your powerful word to do its mighty work in our midst. Directed by the Holy Spirit, we ask in Christ's name, amen. In this account, which I just read to you, we find a man who had palsy. The man cannot walk. He had four friends who loved him. And they heard that Jesus Christ was preaching in a house. And therefore they said, we've got to get that man to Christ. And so the word of God says, they put him on a cot. And they began to carry this man to Jesus Christ. And the first observation I want you to see is the resistance that they encountered. Look in verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Look here. There were so many people in the house, so many people outside the house, they could not even get near the door. There was a resistance that they encountered. You know, as you go out and you endeavor, young lady, look at me, young lady, when you endeavor to bring someone to Christ, hey, gentlemen, when you endeavor to go out and tell others about Christ, I'm going to tell you something. There will be a resistance that you always will encounter. The Bible tells you in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's always going to be the unseen powers resisting your endeavor. Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in him the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you put this down, like these men, there's a resistance that we'll always encounter as we endeavor to bring the unsaved to Christ. But second of all, I want you to observe the resolution was intense. Look, please, in verse 4 again. And when they could not come nigh on them for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now look this way, please. I have a wild imagination. Since I have been a little boy, I've always had a very wild, running imagination. To this day, my daughter Jennifer says, my father has a boy's mind trapped in a man's body. And I've always had this wild imagination. And let me let you see what I see in my mind, okay? I can see this guy. Here's one guy on the back of the cot, another guy holding the other side of the cot, a guy in the front like this holding the cot, another guy in the front, and they go to the house, and they see this huge crowd, and they say, what are we going to do? What, we can't even get near the door. What should we do? Another guy says, we might as well go back home. We'll never get through that crowd. And the third guy voices said, yeah, you're right, let's go. But the fourth young man said, hey, just a moment, guys. I've got a plan. You do? Yeah, I got a plan. Let's go and take him on top of the house, on the roof. And those two guys say, okay. And so they take him on top of the roof. And when they get up there, they say, well, what's your plan now? He says, what's my plan? We're going to tear a hole in this roof. We're going to get this man to Jesus Christ. And so the word of God says, they made a big hole in this house. And this was not even their own house. But they wanted to get the man to Christ. You see, they had reached the point of desperation. And that's where you got to go. You've got to get to the point of desperation where you realize, if I don't get my loved ones and I don't get my friends to Christ, there's no hope. There's no hope for them. The Bible tells you in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Matthew 8:12, there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:46, where the soul dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and never, and they have no rest day nor night. You've got to reach this point of desperation, young person. You've got to see the urgency of the hour. And these men said, we don't care if we look like idiots, if they think we're fools, we've got to get the man to Christ. Many years ago, my soul-winning friend, Brother Summers, he and I went soul-winning, and really through his ministry and his life, God really used him to direct me in the area of where I am today. And so I go off to college, and when I did, Brother Summers began to witness to a young man in the coal mines who was a boss. His name was Jack Smargo. And Jack was a young man that Brother Summers wanted to win to Christ. So every Thursday night, Brother Summers would go walking to Jack's house. And when Jack and his wife Patty saw Brother Summers walking down the sidewalk, they would run, hide in a room, and act like they were not home. And for 1 year, every Thursday night without fail, Dot Summers comes walking down the walkway, and they go running and hiding in a room. One solid year, every Thursday, here comes Brother Summers. 2 years, you heard me right, 2 years in a row, without missing a single Thursday night, Brother Summers comes walking down the sidewalk. Patty and Jack go running, hiding in the side room. After 2 years, one night, Jack turned to Patty and said, Patty, he's been here 2 years in a row. He's not missed a Thursday night. We've got to get rid of him. Let's open the door and let him in tonight. And Patty said, yes, let's do that. They opened the door. Brother Dot Summers came in. He took the Bible. He sat down. And by the way, this is crucial, people. Use the Word of God when you go soul winning. Let people get their eyes focused on the Word of God. And Brother Summers sat down. He took the Bible. He began to show Brother Jack and Patty the way of salvation. And Patty began to weep. And Jack said, no one's ever shown us. No one's ever explained this to us. And that night, Jack and Patty received Christ as their Savior. And Jack and Patty joined the church that I was saved in West Virginia. And Brother Jack Smargo and my father became soul-winning partners. And they began to go soul-winning together. Every week, my dad and Jack would go soul-winning. And through that, God called Jack to preach. He goes to college. And when he was a senior, he won the soul-winning award. He won the most souls of Christ in 4 years than any other student. Jack Smargo and I were talking just a couple of years ago. And he said to me, as he had tears just flowing out of down his face, he said, Jerry, I wonder where I would be today if Brother Summers had given up on me. He said, I'm so grateful he did not quit. And then I was in West Virginia shortly after that. And so I went to see Brother Summers, my dear friend. I said, Brother Dot, did you realize that Jack and Patty were hiding on you? He said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. I knew they were hiding on me, but I was determined by the grace of God to reach Jack, or to reach Jack and Patty for Jesus Christ. You know what? Tonight, or this morning, you need to realize there has to be a resolution. If you look like a fool, and people think that you're an absolute idiot, you as an individual need to make the resolution. I can't give up. I've got an unsaved brother. He's unsaved to this day. I'm not giving up. I love him. I pray every day for him. You know what? I'm praying God will save him. There has to be a resolution, young people. And these men, they tore open the roof. They lowered the man to Christ. And third of all, the results were miraculous. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, I'm the sick of the palsy. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Look here, I can just see this in my mind. I can see Christ preaching, and all of a sudden, there's all this stuff falling down. He looks up in the air, and here these men had tied ropes around the cot, and they're lowering the man down to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, remember, notice, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, I'm the sick of the palsy, son. Thy sins be forgiven thee. But he did not stop there. In verse 11, he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible says he arose, he began to walk. And the Bible says the people marveled and said, we never saw it on this fashion. And you know something? You will never see it on this fashion until you, as an individual, recognize there's a resistance that you are going to encounter. There has to be a resolution. We've got to get them to Christ. And then one day you'll see the miraculous. Many years ago, I was preaching in Tipton, Indiana. And we had a lovely meal in the home that night before the meeting. Now, I usually do not eat before I preach, but I had a meal in the home that night, this nice couple, and the pastor and his wife were along with us. So at the close, my wife and the pastor's wife got in the car. They go back to church because pastor and I were going to go to the hospital and visit a man. So I get in the car with pastor, begin to go down the road to the hospital. When all of a sudden, the pastor said, you know, Brother Jerry, I do not believe we'll go to the hospital. I think we'll go back to church. I said, why is that, pastor? He said, Jerry, I have brought every evangelist, every missionary in the whole country. We have visited, and he said, this is no exaggeration. We have visited this one man 150 times. And I'm not going to waste your time to go see this man. And I said, now, pastor, let me see him. I'd like to see him. He said, no, Jerry. I said, no, pastor, look, we got the time. I want to meet him. He said, okay. So we go to the hospital to visit a Mr. Hall. And so I walk in the room, and pastor said, this is Jerry Savinsky. And I shook the guy's hand as he's in bed. And we sat down, and we start talking. And I don't even know why I said this to the guy, but I was just kind of searching how to approach this guy. And I mentioned about I'm from West Virginia, and I was raised about fishing all the time. He said, you like to fish? I said, oh, yeah, I fished every day of my life as a young man. I love fishing. He said, you love fish? And he sat up in bed. I said, well, I don't like fishing. I like hunting. He said, you love hunting? I said, oh, yeah. I fished. I know he fished. I hunted. We lived on wild meat. Well, this guy and I, we act like we're blood brothers. I mean, we're just bonded. And finally, I said, well, Mr. Hall, we've got to go. I've got meetings tonight. He said, I know that. I said, but before I go, would you mind if I ask you a question? He said, no. What would that be? I said, Mr. Hall, if you would die, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? That's all I said. Mr. Hall, if you died, do you know where you would spend eternity? He looked at me and sat up in bed and said, I can't believe you asked me that question. I said, why? He said, I've been thinking about it all day long. I said, you have, huh? He said, yes, I have. I said, Mr. Hall, would you mind if I took the Bible and showed you some things? He said, not at all. I opened the Word of God. I had him feast his eyes on the Word of God. I began to show him things. And finally, I said, Mr. Hall, would you like to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? He said, yes. Yes, I've been thinking about it all day long. He bowed his head, received Christ as his Savior. And when I looked up, I looked specifically at the pastor in the chair. And there's no exaggeration. The pastor looked at me, and he went like this toward me. He went. He couldn't believe it. He got in the car. He said, I'm rebuked. I thought there's no hope for this man. We got to church at night. I get in the pulpit. And I said, Pastor, and I just came from the hospital. I just led Mr. Hall to Christ. And his two sisters literally burst out weeping. We prayed for years for God to save him. And he came to Christ. The 151st visits. You know what? You'll never see God do the miraculous in your life when you got your nose always in a book and you never go out and tell others of Christ. I'll never forget a professor in the college I went to was asked this question. I was not there when this happened, but a dear friend of mine told me what they asked this professor. In the preacher boys class, he said to the preacher boys in his class, he said, young men, what do you think is more important, intellectual knowledge or a passion for souls? And the hands raised were for the intellectual. Only two young men raised their hand in the area of a passion for souls. And they said, the professor literally stood up and walked out of the room and began to weep. You know something? I love education. I thank God for these men of God. I really do. I'm for higher education. I've gone to graduate school. I want to encourage you guys, when you graduate, go to graduate school. You hear me? Graduate school is powerful. It puts a sharp edge on your life. Young ladies, if you can go to grad school, go to grad school. It puts a fine, sharp edge on your life. I'm for higher education. But here's Savinsky's philosophy. I need an intellectual attainment coupled with a fervency for souls. Put those together. Handcuff your life to that. If you're all knowledge, you're a dangerous man. You hear me? You are dangerous. And if you're all zeal, you're equally dangerous. You can't be an airhead. You've got to know the Word. You've got to know the depths of the Word of God. But you better have a heart for souls. I'm telling you something. I've got three boys and a daughter. You want to know how every phone call ends with my boys? Every phone call? You ask Brent. You ask Scott. You ask Todd. My daughter Jennifer. When I get through talking, I'll say, hey, son, don't lose your zeal for souls. They'll come back and say, hey, Dad, don't you lose your zeal for souls either, Dad. Every phone call for years. Don't lose your zeal for souls. Students, look at me. Hey, young lady, don't lose your zeal for souls, okay? Young man, don't lose your zeal for souls. Oh, get a good education. Go on further in your education. Know the word of God. But have your life a passion for others. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. With heads bowed and our eyes are closed. In a moment, I'm going to have our pianist play a song of Rescue the Perishing. And I'm not in this all week, but I feel led the Lord to do this. And maybe there are some of you young people here. You say, Brother Savinsky, I can't remember the last time I've ever presented the gospel to anybody. I've got loved ones without Christ. And God has stirred my heart. I want you to pray for God to soften my heart in this area. Now, I'm going to have just raise your hand right now, but I'm going to go on pretty soon and explain something. Now, there's no come forward invitation, but I first of all want to say, is your Brother Jerry, I have a loved one who's lost. And today, God has deeply stirred my heart. I've given up on him. I've rarely ever go and tell others of Christ. I don't have that fervency for souls that I need, and God has stirred my heart by the message. Before she starts playing with her heads bowed and her eyes closed, would you raise your hand right now across the room to your Lord and say, Lord, you see my hand. God, you know the person I love so deeply. Father, help me not to give up on him. Anybody else? All right, God bless you. A great host. God bless you. Well, tonight in the invitation, I want you to weigh this message all day long, okay? And the night when I get the invitation, I'd love to invite you, if you raise your hand, if you didn't raise your hand, to come and kneel at this altar and voice the name of that person to the Lord. And who knows the people we'll see in heaven in eternity because of what God did in your life this evening or this morning. I pray that'll be a reality. Our dear Father, thank you for the authority of the Word of God. We pray, Lord, you bless the message to the heart of thy people. And Father, we do pray for the many who raise their hands, for their loved ones, that God will see you do things to them to help bring them to Christ. We ask in Christ's name, amen.